This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, January 12, 2025, given by Stephen Taylor, Conference Superintendent of the Northeast Conference of the Global Methodist Church. I will make you fish for people.
Good morning, Connection Church. Good morning. It is great to see you. Thanks for braving the cold. It's good to be together. It's important to be together, right?
This isn't cold.
It's not cold. All right, because he's from Syracuse, so it's really cold there. All right, and I'm going to introduce him in a moment. Anybody that was here last week, we have these for you. These are prayer journals or just journals. If you want to pick one up, they're out by the table. You can take notes during the message. You can have them by your devotions. Put them in your purse, whatever. But this is for you as a tool to help you in your discipleship, okay? My name's Carrie Jones. If this is your first time, I really do greet you in the name of the Lord, along with Alan, who put the stand up here. We're the pastors of this church, and we hope that you'll come back next week and the week after and the week after, because we think this is an awesome place to hang out. Those of us who are used to being around here, let's share what our mission is. Our mission is to connect people with, I can't hear you, and the new life he offers.
Connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers.
All right, Eagles fans and Commanders. All right, thank you so much. Today we have a really special time together. We've been blessed at the first service and this service. We have Reverend Stephen Taylor and his wife, Stacy, and Steve is going to bring our message today. Steve's going to introduce himself, but I'm going to say a little bit because, you know, I like to talk to y'all. I wish that he could meet each one of you. They could meet each one of you and hear your stories, because you got a lot to share, and you depend on the Lord, and, you know, there's been great transformation as I look across your faces. Steve is the Conference Superintendent of the Northeast Annual Conference of the Global Methodist Church, Phew. Which we are a part of, right?
Right.
Right. And what that means is there's bishops who are there are spiritual leaders, but then there's Steve, and then there's me, Actually, at the top of the food chain is the church.
Actually, the top is Jesus.
Oh, see, I'm going to get demoted now.
No chance.
We've been working together for about a year and a half, yeah. And Steve was at the very beginning of visioning and planning the Global Methodist Church, and then I came on board to meet him about a year and a half ago, and it has been an incredible, incredible ride. Yeah. Don't be shy after we're done to come up and meet him and meet Stacy. Absolutely. And say hello. And so I want to pray for him. If you would stretch your hand out. Almighty God, we pray for Steve Taylor as he shares a message that I can't wait to hear again, because I'm going to take notes this time. And move him out of the way if you need to do that, so that your word is plain and clear to us. Thank you for Steve and Stacy and their ministry to the Northeast, 12 states and the District of Columbia, as he leads us. We lift him up to you in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen. Stephen Taylor, please welcome him.
Well, I am so thankful to be here today, this weekend, in this area. Thank you to Pastors Carrie and Ellen and the worship team and the tech team. Connection Church has got it going on.
Yeah.
You know, no doubt about it. When I think of this church, and I think of all churches and pastors in the region, whether they're in the Global Methodist Church or other serving in other areas, I can't help but feel the same way that the Apostle Paul felt when he was in prison and he was writing to the church in Philippi. In Philippians 1, he says, I thank my God for every remembrance of you always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He wrote, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I'm not the Apostle Paul. Thank God I'm not in prison. That's even better. But I am super thankful to be part of this connection and to be here today just to serve with you, to worship with you, to witness with you, to get to know some of you, and just spend time in this area of Delaware. And so, you know, it's been quite a ride. And even in spite of some of the challenges and some of the struggles that we all have gone through in the past few years and even in our lives, it's just so great to be here today. You know, you're wondering who this guy is preaching up here today, who's wearing a sport coat. Like, no one told me the dress code was like jeans and a t-shirt. But anyway, I'm kidding. They did tell me that, but I'm like, I'm not wearing that anyway. As Carrie said, I'm the conference superintendent of the Northeast Conference of the Global Methodist Church, and that's the largest title. I can't even fit it on a business card because I think I'd run out of ink. But really, basically, I have the incredible privilege to oversee and shepherd about 188 churches in the entire Northeast, from the northern part of Maine all the way down to the southern part of Maryland, from Lake Erie all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. And it's 13 states or 12 states plus Washington, D.C., and 150,000 square miles. But, you know, the thing about this area that we're following God in is that there's 50 million people within the confines of our annual conference. It's the largest population of any conference in the Global Methodist Church. And it's understandable because we have New York City and Philadelphia and Boston, you know. We have this incredible opportunity to reach people for Jesus with no shortage of people in our communities to do that. My wife, Stacy, and I, we live in Syracuse, New York, grew up in Western New York. Go Bills. See, we got one Bills fan, all right? You guys are diverse. I see some Commanders. I'm any Ravens fans in here? Two or three of you that have admitted it, I guess. They did well last night. And the Eagles fans. But anyway, we live in Syracuse, New York, and we have two grown children who are both married. One set lives in Severn, Maryland. One set lives in Syracuse, New York, near us. We have three incredible grandchildren and one on the way. Praise God, this summer we'll have number four. And, you know, it's been quite the journey for us in the Global Methodist Church so far, which we're part of here, with challenges that we could never have anticipated. But I will tell you this, and I won't go into details, but Satan does not like the growth in the Global Methodist Church. And I think there's a reason why that's true. It's because we've worked into the DNA of the Global Methodist Church the primary focus on discipleship, making disciples of Jesus Christ. And that vision is that, and the vision is that every person in every Global Methodist Church, in every church really, is learning what it means to be a disciple and then going out and making disciples who make disciples. And you ask the question, well, what is a disciple? And before I get too far into this, I just want to give you a real simple definition of a disciple. A disciple is somebody who spends time with Jesus, whether that's worship or Bible study or just in prayer time. So spend time with Jesus, learns what Jesus does and what he did throughout his ministry and even in the world today, and then goes out and does what Jesus is doing. And so that's the definition of a disciple. And those aren't just words, right? This is a mission. And that mission, this movement, is a disciple-making movement. And so this morning, we're going to go back to the beginning of the disciple, when Jesus was calling the first disciples. We're going to go back to that moment when Jesus was walking along and he said, follow me, to a group of men who were fishing one day. And I don't know about you, but maybe at one point in your life, you heard Jesus say, follow me. And maybe that was today. Maybe that was 25 years ago. Maybe it was a lifetime ago. And you kind of remember what that sounded like when Jesus said, follow me. But maybe today's a day to rekindle that fire that Jesus put in you when he said, follow me. And so I'm ready to pray, and then we can dive into the word. Love to pray and dive into the word. So let's place all this before the Lord. And if you just pray with me, Jesus, you are Lord. And we bow before you in obedience this morning, this time that we've given to you, this sacrifice of our time. And we ask, Lord, that you would meet us right here, that you would transform us simply by the power of hearing your word. And either through me or in spite of me this morning, that your word would be proclaimed with clarity and that we would hear and understand and we would be changed, that we wouldn't leave here being the same as when we came. And God, we give you all the honor and the glory. In your name, amen. Let's dive into the word. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 4 this morning, and we're starting in verse 18. And if you're able, I'm going to ask you just stand in the reading of the gospel. So if you get a chance, just come on, stand up. I know. I just sat down. It's okay. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18, says this. It'll be up on the screen too. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. That's God's word for God's people. You can have a seat. The biggest fish that I ever caught in my life was about this far from the boat. Now, it wasn't a tiny fish. It was a 27-inch northern pike, right? And I was a teenager. And my family and I had rented a houseboat, and we were traveling up the Rideau Canal, which is between New York and Canada. And we're traveling along, and I got up early one morning, and I decided I would just kind of throw a line into the water with a lure, not expecting anything to happen, because usually when I go fishing, you know what happens, with just about nothing. So all of a sudden, this, what I thought was like Moby Dick on the end of my line, it was this 27-inch, and I woke up the whole boat, like there was two families, and I was like, get the net! You know, this is the biggest deal of my entire life. And so I pulled this fish into the boat, and there was this big celebration. But what I realized is that I don't really like to fish that much. We ended up, I think, eating that fish. It was good. Like, I like to eat fish. That's not a problem. But I'm not really a fisherman, although I do sometimes enjoy it, because fishing takes patience, right? Fishing takes time. Fishing takes the right equipment and the right training. Yet in reality, I guess anybody could fish if you have some equipment and some training. And if you have a mentor, it's even better. Like if you have somebody who's like, this is how to fish, it can be helpful, it can be rewarding. You know, Jesus taught his disciples with lots of different metaphors, lots of different ways that he was trying to explain to them that this is what the kingdom of God is like and here's how we're supposed to act. But one of his favorite metaphors was fishing. And there's good reasons for that. You know, much of the economy in the first century in that region around the Sea of Galilee, it really was focused on fishing. Fish was a staple of the diets of the people of Israel, even today. And in our scriptures today, Jesus uses this metaphor of fishing to make a promise to the disciples, a promise for a relationship, a promise for transformation, and a promise for commissioning. So what did he say? Jesus said, follow me and I will, that's the relationship part, I will make you, I will transform your life into fishers of men or fishers of people. That's the commissioning. That's what you're going to be doing. But what did Jesus mean by that? And what were the disciples supposed to do in response? And that's the focus of where we're heading today. But this really isn't about fish or fishing, right? This is about Jesus teaching us how to go out and pull people into the boat that are that is the kingdom of God. And so if you're taking notes this morning, here's the destination. Just write this down. It says, Jesus' call to discipleship is relational, transformational, and missional. That's the formula. That doesn't come from me. That wasn't my brainchild. That's in a book called 180 by a pastor named Jeff Vanderstelt. But what he's trying to say is that being a disciple is about spending time with Jesus, about being changed by Jesus, and then going out and doing the things that Jesus does. So as we read this scripture this morning, you know, here's Jesus. He's walking along the Sea of Galilee. He's getting away from the crowds, Matthew tells us. And he wasn't just out for a hike. Like, he was on a mission. And that mission was to find some people who would be part of the kingdom of God and start building this with him. Now, Capernaum, he's walking toward Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is a beautiful city. It's right on the Sea of Galilee. It was one of my favorite places when we visited the Holy Land a few years back. And one of the things I love about Capernaum is that there's a place next to the temple. It's the foundation of the temple, or the synagogue that was in Capernaum. And you can actually touch a piece of stone that was there when Jesus was in the synagogue in Capernaum. There are a couple places like that in Israel where you just like, Jesus walked on this piece of rock. So he's walking along this lake and he's on a mission and he's seeking out disciples for God's kingdom to build God's kingdom. And now we got to know that Jesus was a rabbi, right? So Jesus means he was formally trained in the Jewish law and the religion. And it would be very unusual for rabbis to ever seek out or call disciples. So if someone, wanted to be studying under a certain rabbi, that person, that young person, would probably go to that rabbi and say, I want to study under you. I want you to be my teacher. But here's Jesus, and he's seeking out followers. First, it was Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were fishing. Now, as an aside, do you know why Matthew tells us that Peter and Andrew were fishing? Because they were fishermen. Sorry. Anyway, now you know my sense of humor, right? So Matthew tells us that Jesus approached them. They didn't approach Jesus. Jesus saw them. They didn't see Jesus. Jesus spoke. They didn't speak. The initiative was all Jesus's. I think Matthew makes this point in this gospel account so that no one would think that the disciples were the ones making the initial choice here to follow him. Jesus made the choice to go, to see, to speak to Simon and Andrew, intent on making this command and this promise. Now, it reminds me of what St. Augustine said. He said, I could not seek if you had not already found me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who we've heard a lot about lately, right? In his Cost of Discipleship, he says, discipleship is not an offer man makes to Christ. It is only the call which creates the situation. So it's all about Jesus making that call. The command that Jesus made was follow me. In the Greek, it's an imperative. He's like, follow me, exclamation point. Here's what Jesus' command was not, though. He didn't say, come admire me. He didn't say, come and understand all of my principles. He didn't even say, come and accept me into your heart. He said, follow me. Be in relationship with me. And then the second and third parts of Jesus' statement to them was contingent on the first. He said, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. In other translations, it says, I will send you out to fish for people. We know this is for men, for women, for children, for young people, for old people, for everyone in between, for every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every nationality. Jesus' call is for all of us. And Matthew tells us that immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Now, we tend to skim kind of over that. And we're like, okay, whatever. They just immediately left their nets and followed him. But these were professional fishermen. They were probably, Simon and Andrew especially, were middle-class fishermen. They were making a decent wage. They probably had more than one boat. They had people that were employed by them, or, you know, that they were in their employ. And yet, Matthew says that immediately they gave it all up, all the money, all the work, all the security to follow Jesus. But the question is, to what? To where? How? Why? When? I think if you and I were in that boat, those are the questions that we would ask. Somebody comes up to you and says, I want you to follow me. We'd be like, well, where are we going? When are we going to be back? Who am I going to be with? What are we going to do? I mean, we got a million questions. But this passage in Matthew and the same account in other gospels gives us this clue that Jesus is really asking them something significant. Same thing with John and James, the sons of Zebedee. In their case, they were mending nets. It's just an interesting little phrase there, if they're mending nets. You know, if you never catch any fish, you never have to mend your nets, right? I mean, I have a tackle box full of expensive like lures and stuff that there's no doubt that I'll never lose them. You know, so here they are, they're mending their nets. They were successful fishermen. They had people around them. They had their family there. And immediately they left their boats and their father. Church, this scene is critical to the gospel because this is the beginning of the church. The first disciples, they had no clue what Jesus was going to ask them to do. They had no clue what Jesus would go through, and yet they did, by the power of Jesus' words, say yes to this. Because of a promise to be in relationship with them, because of a promise to transform them and to send them out into commission, and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in this, and only by the power of the Holy Spirit were they able to say yes. Because there's no way that they would leave everything behind if the Holy Spirit hadn't convicted them in that moment that Jesus was the real deal. And when they found out what they found out over the next few years, now Jesus begins to gather more disciples and teach them and build this foundation for the church. What they found is that there was a purpose for this. There was an answer to their question, why? And it's to save people from death by repenting of their sin and believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And through the church, the kingdom of God will be populated. Through the church, people who will believe and will invite others to believe by sharing their faith, sharing with those around them, inviting people to be in relationship with Jesus, to be transformed by Jesus, to be sent out in mission with Jesus. John Wesley, who's the founder of our Methodist movement, said this about the purpose of the church. He said, there's only one condition previously required for those who desire admission into those societies. It's a desire to flee from the wrath to come and be saved from their sins. But wherever this is reality, in reality, fixed in the soul, it will be shown by its fruits. And so discipleship starts with this promise from Jesus to be in relationship with him. And then it takes on this transformation as Jesus works in our lives. And then eventually the fruit comes when we start sharing our faith and inviting other people to be part of the kingdom. And so the question now is why? So what? Why are we doing this? I always, in sermons, have to ask, so what? What does this mean? Jesus is very clear in his teachings throughout the Gospels that there will come a day when every single living person will be judged by his or her own actions while you lived. We can't sugarcoat that, church. When the day of judgment, and I'm not one of these guys that's like, you know, you got to believe that there's, you know. That's just a reality. That's what Jesus said. I believe him. When the day of judgment comes, each one of us, each family member, each person who has ever lived will stand before God and we will hear what he has to say. The wonderful thing is that we don't have to wonder what he's going to say because he tells us what he's going to say. He will say to those who believe in Jesus, you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because of your faith in Jesus, you are forgiven and redeemed and will enter the kingdom of God. And there will be a celebration in all of heaven on that day. Amen. But to those who did not believe in Jesus, God will say, you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you have chosen to live and die apart from Jesus. And you have chosen to spend eternity apart from me. And that will be the saddest day in all creation. It is God's desire for every living person to accept the invitation from God through Jesus to live everlasting life in the glorious presence of God and not apart from him. God desires that so incredibly much that he was willing to send his only son to earth to be born as a baby, just celebrated Christmas, praise God, Emmanuel, God with us, to teach and preach, to suffer and die, and then be raised to life on the third day. Church, we believe that God sacrificed his own son for you and for your family and for your neighbors and for this church and for this community and for the people of Africa and the people of Europe and China and every corner of the globe. And it was God's unwieldy plan to call this first set of disciples, 12 of them, on that lake shore. What kind of plan is that? And then those 12 shared it with 70 and 3,000, and then hundreds and thousands and millions. And then there's the person that told you. Those first disciples became exactly what Jesus made them, taught them to be, fishers of people, faith sharers. And you're sitting here today because Jesus chose to walk along that shore that day and call those four people into ministry. 2,000 years ago, a half a world away, and you're sitting here today because of that. Think about that. And these disciples, they cast their nets and they were preaching to large crowds. And we read about that in the book of Acts. And they were sent out from Jerusalem and they told everybody they could find about this Jesus who was raised from the dead, who healed people, who performed miracles, who cast out demons, who brought people back from life. Church, what more convincing do we need to become fishers of people today? What more evidence could we possibly need? And I think the answer to that question is, we want to see it happen in our time. Amen? We want to see people healed. We want to see people saved. We want to see people raised from the dead. We want to see people freed from addiction and sin and trash lives. We want to be made into true disciples who have a burning desire to seek and save the lost with Jesus. We want to see Jesus' name lifted high in the public square and across the world. We want to see the Holy Spirit fill us with power for preaching and evangelism and serving in our community. We want people to see Jesus in us. That's what we want, God. And church, that's where Jesus is leading us. He went to those first disciples and said, you know, what you've successfully been doing is good. Fishing for fish. But now is the time to stop focusing on that and start building a church that believes in Jesus, despite the cost, despite the sacrifice, despite the discomfort or the unpopular opinion of the world. Come, follow me, he said, and I will make you fish for people. And that's exactly what Jesus calls us to today. But if you think that following Jesus is going to be easy, you don't think that, right? Anybody in here say, oh yeah, this is super easy. It's not. There's two things. There's going to be a cost to that, and there's going to be an uncertain future. Now look, I told you earlier that I was an introvert. The other thing I am is type A. Any type A's out there? Come on. Yeah. We need a plan, right? I want to know what's going to happen, what box I can put it into, so that when I'm moving in that direction, I know exactly where we're going to end up. Being a disciple of Christ is not that. There's a cost. Let me ask you a simple question. If you lost everything in your life, and I mean everything, would you still be a follower of Jesus? You can answer that question if you want. I hope the answer is yes. It was for Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He lost everything and his life. For the other martyrs, for the disciples. Learning to fish for people as a primary focus of your life will cost you. It will cost you nets and boats like it did for Peter and Andrew and James and John. That's money that you'll give away to others in the ministry, that time that you'll spend in the church so that we can do this together and out there. It's going to cost you relationships like it did for James and John. It might mean that there are some people in your life who are going to stop wanting to be around you. Yet it may mean that you will go where Jesus calls you to go to meet new people and fish in new waters. One of the absolute blessings that Stacy and I have had over our 20-some years of ministry, we've served two different churches. So we moved from our house when I was an engineer serving the Lord in sort of that way. Then became a pastor and moved here, and then we moved here. And then this last season, we had to give that up and move. So all along the way, we've not always given up all those relationships. Like, we've kept some of those, and it's been a blessing to us. And we've got to make new friends and make new, you know, people in our lives. It's been so good. Yet there's been a cost for that. You know, we've had to move away. We've had to say goodbye to people that have died. We've had to be bold in building new relationships. Again, here's an introvert, not good at making new relationships. But Jesus said to us, follow me. Jesus is saying to you, follow me. He may not be asking you to go into pastoral ministry, although if that's the case, talk to Pastor Carrie and Pastor Allen about that. But he is calling you to follow him wherever he leads you, to teach you and grow you, but there's going to be a cost. And Jesus doesn't call you expecting that you're going to serve in all of the places that you already feel comfortable serving. He's going to pull you into places where he's going to teach you how to do some things in a new way, to transform you, to equip you when you agree to follow him. And so are you willing to say to Jesus, hey, make me fish for people, send me? Are you willing to pay the cost? If yes, then there's a cost, but there's also this learning to fish for people. There's an uncertain future. You know, Jesus promised us relationship and transformation, but he also said, you're going to go. The call of Jesus on the first disciples meant that they couldn't be 100% sure what life was going to be like when they were heading out with him. They didn't know how to fish for people. They didn't know where to fish for people. They didn't know when. They didn't know what it all meant. Being made into a fisher of people means that there will be moments in your day that you never expected. Stacy and I got some great one-on-one time with Pastors Carrie and Allen. And I will tell you, their witness is that there were moments in growing Connection Community Church and leading this, they had no idea where the next paycheck was coming from. They had no idea where the building was going to come from. They had no idea where the leaders were going to come from. There was this uncertain future about what God was at to work. But here we are standing in this building full of people who love the Lord and are serving him with all your heart. But there's an uncertain future sometimes when we say yes to what Jesus has in our lives. Following Jesus, being made into fishers of people by Jesus, may mean that there's an uncertain future for you. But what it means even more is a very certain future with Jesus forever in the kingdom of God. You know, fishing for fish, maybe something you like to do, can even provide some food. But there's a lack of eternal mindset sometimes in that. Not so with fishing for people. We are all aware of two very important truths, and or we probably wouldn't be here. First is that God gives each person the choice as to whether you're going to follow him or not. And second, for some reason, God chose us, the church, you and me, all believers, to tell the world about him so that people had every opportunity to choose him in option number one. Jesus is counting on us. I feel sorry for Jesus sometimes. You know, but he's not sending us out with nothing. He's sending us out with himself. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. And he's alive and going before us. And he's praying for us. And he loves us. That's transformation. And he will make us fish for people instead of whatever else we think in life is more important. And so are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to live into that wide open, unknown future where people will come into our lives and be caught for him, and when we will go out from this place to fish for people in Jesus' name? Because Jesus' command is very simple. All he said was, follow me. And his promise is to keep making you into fishers of people. And I'll tell you, Jesus will deliver. And so tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Tell them what you believe and cast that net, and Jesus will do the rest. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we humbly come before you and we thank you for all of the things that you have done in our lives, all the saving and all the rescuing and all the ways that we don't even know that you've been working in our lives. But Lord, we pray that we will be ready, Lord. I pray start with me. I pray start with us right here in this place so that all that we do, all that we say, every opportunity we have to share your name, we take that with confidence to say, you know, Jesus has done this for me. He can do it for you. I pray a blessing over this congregation and every person that can hear my voice. Give us bold courage to speak the name of Jesus. And if there's anybody here today that is struggling or has an uncertain future, know that Jesus has it all figured out. There's no surprises for him. So lean into him. Let him have your today to be relationship, to be transformed, to be sent out. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.